The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube, TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9, so much more than a producer, in the hizzy. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. What temperature on the car yesterday was 117.
Oh, balmy. Mine broke.
Yours broke? That's what Randy told me downstairs, that yours broke.
Yeah. I love that Randy told you. Yeah, I
was running on your car.
What was it? Monday was errand day for me and you, where we were running all around, and like I was parked outside for like a couple hours. I got back in the car and I'm driving around. I'm like, yeah, my thermometer is saying 70 degrees, and it's not changing, and I don't think that's the case right now, because it's definitely like 115.
Maybe 170.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Not 70. It's the dog days of summer here in Las Vegas, but we got a show for you, filled with guests, filled with actionable betting information. JVT coming up momentarily, talk all things basketball and baseball with us, all his plays, Will Hill with his, Chris Felica. With his, Will Hill and Chris Felica, two Yankees fans back-to-back. I'm sure I'm not going to hear about any comments I made yesterday. That's coming up. Jason Weingarten as well with all his bets. I will go – I made a Cy Young bet. I made my first Cy Young bet of the year, and we will discuss that, and we will do it in a way that is that we've done on this show here on A Numbers Game annually, doing it very systematically based on a tried-and-true formula. And so sort of in the theme of what we're talking about with Cleve earlier this week in the NFL, like, all right, here are my tried and true NCAA championship formula. Here's my tried and true Cy Young thing that we do. We never really talk about in the NFL, which we will again momentarily, about some of Cleve's stuff, Cleve TA, his football preview guide, that some of his parameters on certain awards. But that's what we're going to do with the Cy Young coming up later on the show. And I have made a bet, and perhaps it will trigger one for you. Also on the show, this can't be right. This can't be right, Kelly. It says here on the rundown, Deanna Colon, professional vocalist, songwriter, chef, and actress. Also the original Jardians lady. Is that true?
That's right.
What have we done?
That's right. Hour and 10 minutes.
Would you like to hear from her? Like, you know, want to do a Sunbelt preview. The former. Let's go. Let's find out from Deanna. She is a she got ousted from Jardians, and I just want to find out what went down and how she's doing and what that whole ordeal was like, because I think it's a good case study for just anyone who receives hate and handles it.
Yeah,
it's a great thing to look at.
I mean, I'm interested for her specifically, quite a background with. I mean, she's done many reality TV shows, a singer, a professional singer. Actress.
Well, that's my first thing I'm going to say to her. Well, I don't know why I'm whispering, because I don't think she's listening. But the first thing I'm going to say to her is, like, does it offend you that I go right to the Jardians commercial? Because she's done all these other things.
So it's partially that, or does she look at it as it was a boost to her career?
Yeah.
I mean, when you have people like us talking about it as much as we've talked about it.
So we look forward to that as well. By the way, Wimbledon update. I split bets this morning. I have only one left. I thought that Elena Svitolina would give Elena Rybakina more of a challenge this morning, but Rybakina clinically defeating Svitolina, so the over did not get there. But I did, and I'm still mad at myself for this, too. I had Barbora Krejcikova plus the games against Yelena Ostapenko. Not only did she cover the game line, she beat Yelena Ostapenko in straight sets. So I hate myself for this is when you're running bad and your numbers tell you you should take the money line. You're like, I don't know about my numbers right now in this grass service. So you back up and you take the games. And so I hate myself even for winning that the way that we want it. The only one I have left left is on the men's side. We had a withdrawal this morning. Alex de Minaur, the Australian, who hurt himself on match point in the previous round against Artu Fields. Actually, it was a couple points before that. He said it was the last 3 points where he felt as though he had a a pain. And what ended up happening, and I think I have the exact quote somewhere.
Yeah, I like heard half of it when I was walking out this morning.
It was it's an abductor strain, abductor detached from the hip. Something. I'll get you the exact quote.
It was I didn't catch exactly what it was, but he was talking about.
I have it for you. Alex Demenor have to pull out due to a hip injury, a tear of the cartilage that connects to the abductors. I felt a crack during the last 3 points. Had a scan and it confirmed it was the injury with high risk of making it worse.
Yeah.
Olympics in danger, he says as well, which is the real. I mean, on top of that, for the Australian for that to be in jeopardy is a huge thing. So anyway, the long and short of it is, the women's semis are now set. It is Elena Rybakina against Barbora Krejcikova. Those are the two remaining players with the best grass court numbers. Rybakina 1, Krejcikova 2, and then in the other one, you've got Donna Vekic against Jasmine Paolini. Okay. Donna Vekic in her first Grand Slam semi. And then on the men's side, we have Daniil Medvedev, who upset Jannik Sinner yesterday. Sinner was ill. Medvedev gets through. He will take on Carlitos. Carlitos beat Tommy Paul yesterday. So Medvedev versus Alcaraz in one. And the other one is Novak Djokovic, who has had not only Dimonor get hurt on his side of the bracket, but also Uber Urkacz get hurt on his side of the bracket. Also have Sasha Zverev get hurt in that match against Taylor Fritz the other day, hurt on his side of the bracket. Novak gets the free bonus square. He's in the semis against the winner of this match, Taylor Fritz, taking on Lorenzo Musetti here momentarily. I have the under 39, I think Fritz rolls it.
So, let's go, Fritz.
We'll see.
Rooting for Fritz now.
Okay. One more thing from Cleve's preview guide. Again, VSiN NFL betting guide is out there for VSiN subscribers. Check it out. Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, Adam Burke, Zach Cohen. Everybody did such a wonderful job on this. Our buddy Cleve has his own little free one that he puts out at Cleve TA just on his Twitter side. And we talked about alternate season win totals earlier and the amazing percentages that hit on those earlier in the week. We talked about Coach of the Year and the parameters he gives for Coach of the Year and who that sort of applies to this year. He landed on Kevin O'Connell. Kelly and I were talking about it, and Jim Harbaugh just makes too much sense to me, quite frankly. Well, let's talk about another thing that he talked about, which is season wins in general. Forget the alternate for a second. Season wins in general, there's always exceptions. And we talked about, let's just break it down in three groups. There's teams that have season win totals of eight or fewer. In between 8.5 and 9.5, which, by the way, ends up being like 12 teams right in the pocket there in the middle. And then teams that are 10+. So we're going to remove the 8.5 to 9.5 for the purposes of this discussion, which is 12 teams right in the middle. But there is always, and we can flash this up from Cleve, there is always at least a team or two that gets there from.
So since 2000, at least one team with a win total of 8 or less has made the playoffs. In 20 of the last 24 seasons, at least two teams have made it, okay? And then in the next one, so we're going to discuss what team do we think with a lower one could make the playoffs. And then a team with a win total of 10+ has missed the playoffs every year since 2000. So which one of the ones with 10 or more will miss the playoffs this
year? All right,
let's
start with the first group, where you said every year since 2000, at least one team with a win total of 8 or less has made it. 20 of the last 24, at least two teams have made it. Here are the teams that qualify for this year, that have season win totals of under 8, and let's try to identify the team or two teams that will get to the playoffs. Cardinals, 7, and I'll just read them off in no particular order. Actually, alphabetical order by their city or state, and then you can react. Okay. Cardinals, 7.5. You think they get there? I do not.
I don't. I think there's. I think there's a chance.
Panthers, 5.5.
No.
Broncos, 5.5.
No.
Raiders, 6.5.
No.
Now here's the one that Cleve identified the other day. Vikings, 7.5.
Probably not.
I'm not so sure either. Patriots, 4.5.
No.
Saints, 7.5.
No.
I'm with you on all your no's. Giants, 6.5.
No.
Here's the one where I think gets there. Seahawks, 7.5.
That's the one I wrote down. Seattle Seahawks.
I just think the Pete Carroll subtraction is such an addition. And I don't think, and I think Mike McDonald is going to maximize that defense. I don't think they're going to have as conservative of play calling on offense. I just think, and they were great on first and second downs last year. They were great on first and second downs, as Klee points out in his preview as well. Seahawks 7.5. Bucks 7.5.
No.
I agree. Titans 6.5.
No.
I agree. Commanders 6.5.
Maybe.
That's
maybe,
the
but
only other one I would give.
Maybe, but no. The only one I could, because this was the one where there, in last 24 years, at least two teams have made it. I couldn't get to two. I can get to Seahawks. I couldn't get to two.
I'm with you. I get to Seahawks. Vikings and Commanders are the maybes.
Vikings, Commanders, Cardinals for me. I would put in that next group.
Very charitable of you. All right. The other category, a team with a win total of 10-plus has missed the playoffs every season since 2000. Which is that team? Ravens, 10.5.
I think I cheated a little bit here.
No. Bills, 10.5. No. Bengals, 10.5. No.
No.
Cowboys, 10.5.
I'm going
Cleve said yes.
I'm going no on the Cowboys. I think they still make it.
Lions, 10.5.
No.
Chiefs, 11.5.
No.
Eagles, 10.5.
No.
This Niners, 11.5.
No.
It's either the Cowboys or the Eagles.
Yeah, if we're going there. I mean, I think this is where the numbers, like, okay, there's Dolphins and Jets, there's 10s out there on. I think my
I did not include them because I saw 9.5.
Yeah, my half-assed answer on this was the Dolphins.
That doesn't count for this exercise.
It doesn't count. It doesn't count.
No.
I don't have
I think
answer.
It's either the Cowboys or the Eagles. I think the team that doesn't win that division. I know it's a bit of a cop-out because I didn't name one of them. But I think that's it.
If we're saying that, which, I mean, look, it's a small group we're picking from. Right.
I just think it's
Cowboys before Eagles for me.
We talked about guardrails with coaches of the year. I just think this is sort of the opposite of that, which is open your mind to the possibility
that
teams you feel are good or bad might not be as good or bad as you think headed into the season. JVT on the other side. Jonathan Von Tobel. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems, trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use promo code ANG.
A-N-G like a numbers game.
You get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. Once again, VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code A-N-G. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not only our senior NBA analyst, he's also the co-host of VSiN Primetime, which he does with Tim Murray weeknights here at the network, and comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line with shorn hair. A haircut that is different than we're used to. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. How you doing, JBT?
Yeah, I'm good. Look, I'm a big guy. I've shed some LBs, and I'm working on that, right? But it's hot, man. It's hot. And so the other day before I left on a vacation where I was going to go explore nature out there in Central California, I was like, I got to get rid of this. So shaved the head. It's a style I used to rock. But I feel like with a big head like mine, I can pull it off. So, here I am.
Nicely done. And then maybe it sheds just enough weight in your little contest with Dustin. Maybe that helps as well. I don't know if you were thinking
that. Correct. Every advantage. Actually, I don't have a single hair on my body outside of my eyebrows and the ones on top of my head. So.
Okay, we didn't need that. We didn't need that.
Wait, what is that contest? What is it completed again?
NFL kickoff day. So what is that? Thursday, September, whatever that is.
Okay. Yeah.
Any sense of who's in the lead here? We're talking about body weight percentage we're talking here.
Yeah. No, because so Dustin's on vacation for like 3 straight weeks.
Yep.
So I'm hoping that I can really kind of put a good dent into this over the next couple of days. Once I'm done with you, I'm throwing the sweatsuit on and going out for a nice walk in the heat. So I think I could take advantage of it in the next couple of weeks because I'll just say this. I hung out about 2-3 weeks ago. Kelly was there at a cabana out there at Stadium Swim. And I did not need to tempt Dustin that much with a giant plate of nachos. It was somewhat easy. So hopefully on vacation, the same thing's happening.
Dustin was like, ah, don't twist my arm.
I feel like I've been around those two like four times since this contest started. And it is nonstop. Like, hey, JVT, you should try this. This looks really good. Or vice versa.
Well, good luck. And then just remind everybody what the prize is here. Is there a prize?
I think there's $500 on the line. Something like that. Yeah, like between the two of us. Now, Dustin wants to do something where he wants to, like, we have to put it on an NFL future. I'm going to push back on that because I was like, I want to do whatever I want with the $500. Why do I have to then subsequently do whatever I want with it? So we'll see what happens.
You guys have been through enough. All right. It is Summer League time. And I know you love this. And I know you actually bet this. I'm not sure if you, like, go to the arena and actually, like, get in some live stuff going. But you definitely have some macro thoughts on this and a futures bet on it.
Yeah, and I'll say this. Look, I think anybody who knows this, and I told the story actually involving Kelly the other day on the air. You know, Gil, last year, Kelly and I were sitting at the Thomas and Mack Center, and we were watching Pistons and Raptors warm up, and he and I both thought, hey, you know, I don't see James Wiseman or Jaden Ivey or Jalen Durr and all these guys that were supposed to make this Pistons team great. And so I go down, and I'm looking, and I'm like, oh, these dudes aren't even on the floor. And so we went and bet the Raptors, and it was a sweat, but they ended up covering. But that's kind of the whole picture, right, with Summer League is information's key. If you can know when some of these bad players aren't going to play, or some of the good players aren't going to play, then you're going to be in a pretty good position. So day to day, that's what you're kind of hoping for is roster moves, getting ahead of it, following beat writers and understanding who's going to play and who's not. But from the large sense, I think you're looking at the futures market for some certain characteristics in teams. You want really solid second year players. You know, the Utah Jazz, for example, have a roster that is littered with guys who have played really good minutes at the NBA level in the regular season. You're looking at guys on this roster, Gil, that have played Keontae George, Taylor Hendricks, Walker Kessler. We don't know how long they're going to play in the Summer League, but if you're going to give me those guys for two, three of the four games that they're going to play in Las Vegas, that's a team that's going to make some noise. That's why they're up there. So I think they're worth it. And the Memphis Grizzlies for me is one of those teams as well. And we actually saw these two teams play the other night, but again, a roster that is littered with dudes who played solid NBA minutes for them this past season, led the way. GG Jackson is on this roster who did a really good job for them. Jake LaRavia is on this roster. I think that when you look at teams that can have success in this setting, those are the guys that you want to look for. And I'll give a quick example. 2 years ago, Quentin Grimes was a second-year guy. He was heading into a second year, had played about 40 games, had averaged 17 minutes a game, dominated in the Summer League, carried the Knicks to a title game. He played the Portland Trailblazers, where Trenton Watford was in the exact same scenario, actually helped the Portland Trailblazers get there. Cavaliers were the same situation last year. So those are the characteristics I'm looking for. And those two teams, Grizzlies and Jazz, are going to be on the list for me to bet the Summer League when we get a vast majority of odds, because we're still waiting for a lot of places to hang futures on it.
I was just going to ask you, do we have any at all yet on this?
Yeah. So one spot, Caesars does have odds up. You can get the Grizzlies are at 18-1. The Jazz are the favorites at 5-1. And that's one shot. But I'm waiting because, look, evaluating these rosters is somewhat subjective. So I am going to see exactly what we're looking at and how other outlets really view these teams. Now, one out there has kind of set the market, so we'll see if they just kind of follow in tow. But I think at 5-1 for the Jazz, it's worth it at that price. So just sit back and wait. And if nothing else happens better or if nothing appears that's better, then go there. And same thing with the Grizzlies about that 18-1 mark.
It is Summer League, Tour de France, Wimbledon, that kind of year. It is also an Olympics year. Soccer tournaments, I mentioned, is, of course, all the time. You wrote about the Olympics. What specifically did you write about, or did you write about it in general?
Yeah, so we have an Olympic betting guide coming out here next week. So that'll be part of it. I'll have a whole breakdown of the Olympics coming out here in the next week or so, because I don't know when the guide comes out. I just know that I have to submit my writing by Friday. But I will say this, that when you look at this, the format, it's pretty understandable why the U.S. is such a heavy favorite, right? One, the roster is great. But two, you know, they are pretty much, nothing is guaranteed. But you look at their group, Gil, where you're talking about Serbia, South Sudan, and Puerto Rico, two of those teams, South Sudan and Puerto Rico, 400-1 and 300-1 respectively. The top two teams make it out of group, and then third place teams makes it out, or the top two third place teams. So 8-0 move on to the next round. Team USA is all but guaranteed to move on to the set, to the knockouts. After that, the way of the bracket falls, we don't know because there's a random draw. But this team is going to find itself in the quarterfinals. More than not, they're going to find themselves in the semifinals. So the path is there that it's understandable they're minus 500. But having said that, Canada and France, for me, are the two plays here to make at 11-1 and 14-1, respectively, and or better if you can find it. With Canada, the guard play is insane. When you look at what the Canadians bring to the table with their basketball roster, we kind of know it at this point right now if you've been paying attention, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jamal Murray, Lou Dort are among these guys. Nikhil Alexander Walker is here as well. Their backcourt and wing play is going to be awesome. I think they have some questions up front, which is going to be a problem when you take on teams like France and the United States. But I think your guard play is so good that it's going to get you very far here in this setting. And then France, Gil, I don't know if you've seen this. You know, the French are playing Victor Wembanyama and Rudy Gobert together. Like, they're on the floor together at the same time. They're running plays together. That's going to be such a nightmare. And you also have the home court advantage, right? You're the host nation that really helps you out. When I get those two, the format where I'm pretty certain those two are going to be moving on, I think that those two are very much worth taking 11 and 14 to 1. And we'll get a glimpse of that later tonight when the Team Canada plays Team USA in a little bit of a friendly and a tune-up over, I think it's a T-Mobile. But regardless, those are the two that are worth betting to me. Canada and France, I think those odds are very much worth it. And I'll ramble it, but the last note on this, Kevin Durant is dealing with a calf strain. He's not going to play tonight, and it's the summer of the calf, right? Giannis Antetokounmpo, all these guys have been dealing with this. That's not the greatest for a Team USA that is trying to build this offensive continuity. They're going to be awesome on defense, but the way you play offense is going to be a question. To have a mid-range scorer like that can do it on his own is going to be really helpful, and if he's not going to be available, it's a big blow.
And Andrew Wiggins decided not to play for Canada?
Yes, him and Zach Edey, they were both on the training camp roster, but both were removed for different reasons.
Yeah. But you still like them, though. Still, they're still stacked. Okay.
Yeah, I think I'd like Zach Edey there a little bit more, right? Like I said, like the center position isn't really great. UNLV's own Kem Birch is there, but he's a little long in the tooth. So I would like a little bit more there. So I think that's why they're using both Canada and France, I think, are worth it from an odds perspective, because their odds should be shorter.
Yeah, I can't. How quickly will Wembanyama say to Gobert, I can't believe he won that Defensive Player of the Year award?
The minus 250 favorite to win Defensive Player
Bro,
of the Year.
Bro, you put it up, and I was just immediately angry, because I knew this was coming. We all knew it was coming. Okay, last thing in our last minute here. You did make one Major League Baseball bet season long.
Yeah, I'm just kind of turned off by the Mariners at this point, right? They had a massive lead in the American League West. That's now down to about two games. The Astros, as you well know, right, had a very good month of June to make their way back into this this race. Their pitching has really turned around when you look at the guys that are in that rotation. And I think when you look at the Mariners, are they going to make a trade? We're talking about 22nd away to runs created plus. That lineup has not been very good in many different offensive metrics. And I don't know if you can dip into the pitching with Wu's injury. So I think we get another scenario as last year, Gil, they petered out the end. They missed out on the postseason by a game. I thought it was worth it about plus 150 to take a wager on that team to miss the playoffs. I'm not very confident what the Mariners are doing at this point right now.
Yeah, it feels like a pretty consensus opinion at this point, but good on you getting it at plus money with the Astros and the Rangers now. Rangers have won five in a row. They finally have woken up. That's their longest win streak of the year as well currently. Thank you, JVT. Appreciate it as always, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. Doing Olympics for the Olympic guy. By the way, Olympic opening ceremony is, what is that, July 26th, I believe? Is it July 29th? So the guide should be out July 26th, by the way, opening ceremony. So guide should be out shortly before that. We're coming back. Will Hill with all his bets, and then Cy Young bets after that. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Still to come, my Cy Young bet that I made. We'll do it systematically. That's coming up. And we'll also talk to Jason Weingarten, Chris Felica, and Deanna Colon, the original Jardians lady. What is your excitement level for the original Jardians lady, Deanna
Colon? I'm pumped. Let's go.
Pumped is beyond 10. We'll pull back the curtain that Kelly was emailing with her yesterday or texting, whatever you were doing.
Yeah, emailing.
And she wrote back, dope, about something. So we're very excited. Dope.
I was confirming some details, and I got just a response of dope. I was like, yeah, I love her already.
I love her already. We'll get to that. But first, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, he's at Not The Will Hill. That's with two E's, Not The Will Hill on Twitter. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast and also part of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports. It's Will Hill, everybody. How you doing, Will?
Gilly, what's going on? I have to admit, and I'm embarrassed to even ask this, because I am a huge numbers game fan. I maybe miss like one or two segments a month, maybe. I don't know the backstory. What is the backstory with the Jardines girl?
The backstory is very – thank you for asking, first of all. And thank you for only missing one or two segments. Shame on you, first of all, for two, if that's the case. But thank you. The backstory is simply – that was it. I'll say we, should I include you in this? Because I don't want to like take all responsibility.
But like the collective world.
We were just fascinated by this Jardiance commercial. This is a diabetes drug, right? That the company put together this elaborate ad campaign where the ad came on every 5 minutes, for God's sakes, right? And it was this big dance number with all these colors, and there was this girl. And then just before you could say, oh, my God, take off these ads, they replaced her with a weirder version of the same ad campaign. There she is, by the way, for those watching. There's our lovely Deanna Colon. She's just, look at her having fun out there. And then they went indoors into an office. They replaced her. She got a lot of online hate. It was like she got blamed for people hating the commercial. And so I just want to talk to her and go through how she navigated the hate and just prop her up. She did a great job. By the way, they've done a third version of this commercial where there's a dude in a garden now. And I don't know what these Jardiance people are doing, but we want Deanna back. There is your answer.
And this was a segment a while ago or something? This was a segment you spent? Because I don't remember the segment where you guys talked.
There's no segment. It's just me talking out loud.
Okay. Yeah. Brought it up.
And then randomly, I say to Kelly, I was like, we should probably get the Jardiance girl on. And Kelly follows through on it. Next thing we know, we got her on the show. And then this morning,
he's
we're like,
more than a producer.
What? That's why he's more than a producer. Exactly. Then, was it last night? We're like, are we really doing this? And so here we are. Thanks for asking.
I do remember around the NCAA tournament, you did like a top five most annoying commercials. Remember, there was the Chet and Shea Alexander one.
Oh, yes.
And there was a few of the others. So maybe that's what it was.
Oh, no. Jardiance never was annoying to me. But that conversation
was around that.
That time. That's right. Yeah. What was the one the most annoying was Shea and Chet.
Shea and Chet, yeah.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, there was a Don't Let Me Go iPhone commercial, too.
Yes.
There's a few of them.
Yeah, because the NCAA tournament, we talk about it for Super Bowls, but the NCAA tournament, my God, you have to watch them for 4 days.
Yes.
Let's get this straight, because I always get this confused with you. You're a Yankees fan, you're a Vikings fan.
Yes.
Which is odd, and you're a Lakers fan.
Of course.
Okay, first of all, how did the football thing not end up as the Cowboys, I think is the obvious question.
Oh, stop it. I have to go. I'm leaving early. I think I just like purple as a kid. The way the Yankees dodge that is we had season tickets, so I used to go to games. But I think it was just I had baseball cards, football cards, and I liked the uniform. I think it was nothing more complicated than that.
Okay, I won't ask about the Lakers. We'll leave that for another time. But I want to establish that you're not a Jets fan. Because I sometimes mistake you to be a Jets fan, but you did make a bet on the Jets.
Yeah, this is not up at DraftKings. There's such an elaborate menu, so give credit to them, but I don't know that it's up. I'm sure they'll put it up. I remember Jared Smith was telling me they have it at 15-1 at Circa for last undefeated team. They do play at San Francisco right away, right off the bat, that first Monday Night Football. But after that, it's a lot of Titans and Patriots and Broncos, Vikings on a neutral field. It's not impossible. Like if they beat the 49ers, there's a path where they get like 6-0, 7-0 and cash this ticket. So I think, you know, if you can get 15-1, I'm sure DraftKings will post it at some point. I'm sure these legal books, if you shop around, you can find it, especially as the season comes closer. But after the 49ers, that schedule is pretty cushy. So I do think that's worth a bet.
So a bet that could go down in flames right off the bat, but if you get through it, it's in good position. Okay. Let's go to baseball. Let's start before we give your picks for today. Your Yankees, 5-16 now in their last 21. Like this is ugly. Yet only three behind the Orioles in the AL East. You have come on here before and you have recommended Orioles division bets. Looking good so far since you came on and talked about it. Do you feel like that will hold serve the rest of the way?
I'm afraid to answer this question now because you said yesterday that me and Felica are crybabies. There was a lot of name calling, so I can't even evaluate this team properly without getting labeled and attacked. Yeah, there's a million holes on the team. The lineup outside of Judge and Soto, and you can add Ben Rice, who's for those old enough to remember people making comparisons to Kevin Moss back in the day where he was just like kind of a one-hit wonder and he was hitting home runs right away. Outside of that, there's so many holes in the lineup. The bullpen is awful. Awful might be strong, but they don't get a lot of swings and misses. The starting pitching, which was due for regression, Heel, Rodon, Stroman, those guys are regressing. So it's all kind of happening at once. I don't think it's this bad. I mean, they're not this bad. Nobody's this bad, but they are still 20-1 at DraftKings to miss the playoffs. I don't think that's a crazy bet. I do think Baltimore wins the division. I think Baltimore's got just a better, deeper team. And Baltimore's got more to trade, too. So any of the Garrett Crochet, Mason Millers, any of these guys out there, and the Yankees need all the help they can get at the deadline, the Orioles can outbid them for all that stuff. So to me, the Orioles, I didn't look what it was this morning. It's been even cheaper than I expected. Still in the minus 130, minus 135 range. You missed the better prices. But, hey, you got to play the ball where it lies. I still think that's a good bet. And if you told me you bet them 20-1 to miss the playoffs, I can't argue with you. They're only, I think, 5 up now in Kansas City for that final spot. The way they're going, I mean, there's a lot of time left, a lot of runway left, as you say, and they're not playing well. Do I think they'll miss the playoffs? Probably not, but I don't think 21's a bad bet.
Yeah, 5.5 games clear of the Royals to be on the outside looking in. Well, 5.5 would put them in a tie with the Royals anyway. Okay, by the way, just one correction. I didn't call you guys crybabies. I believe the quote was some of the worst human beings I've ever met in my life. I believe
okay,
was the quote.
That's better.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's better. All right, what did you land on today?
I went under 4.5 in the first 5. Baltimore and Chicago, Imanaga, Burns. That's a good pitching matchup. So Imanaga has been a little shaky lately. He had that start against the Cubs, against the Mets a couple of weeks ago on that Friday afternoon game where he got bombed. Other than that, he's regressed a little bit, but he's still been solid. Burns against the Cubs lineup, I think, is a good matchup. So went under 4.5 in the first 5 there. And I played Tampa. I don't like Stroman's numbers, not getting a lot of swings and misses. Some of the advanced stuff isn't friendly to him. So I think this Yankee slide continues for another day. I took Tampa.
Wow, I like it. All right, I'm about to do a Cy Young bit on the not a bit, but a segment on Cy Young because I made a bet this morning. Did you bet anything AL or NL Cy Young thus far?
I took Reagan's before the year. One of my books just had a stale number at like maybe 20-1, so it was more just playing the number, but not a market I've really gotten too involved in. Oh, I got Skeens. That's not true. I got Skeens a couple of weekends ago. It was 100-1, and then it's 75-1. I think he's still 60-1 at that book, at least last I looked the other day. I don't think it's going to win. I think I was texting you and Bear about it, where I was like, hey, I don't think it should be, I don't think he's going to win, but I don't think it should be 100-1, but nothing major. Now, what league is this? Are you going to ask me to guess what your ticket is?
Oh, no, I'm not going to ask you to guess because that would spoil the segment on the other side. But well, you can guess the league. Let's put it that way. Guess the league. Yeah. You can't guess the player, but guess the league.
I'll say American League.
I
don't know who you have in mind.
You are correct. All right. It is a bet in the American League. Okay.
I don't think it's going to be Shane Bieber.
you don't think it's going to be Bieber. Okay. We'll have a tried and true method that has picked every Cy Young winner correctly since the year 2017. So what is that? That's a grand total of 14 Cy Young, 7 in each league. They're 12 of 14 picking the winner since 2017. And by the way, some of the years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we'll get into it, and the odds are beautiful. Is there a baseball opinion on the way out here that you have that is not a conventional one here moving forward? We'll just leave it open-ended. Or is there a consensus opinion that you find that you cannot get behind?
Seems like everyone's just very quick to hand the Astros the division. I want to argue with it, but man, Seattle does swing and miss a lot. Seattle does have a lot of trouble on offense. So I would love to be the contrarian and say, all right, Seattle's pitching is going to emerge and they're actually going to win the division, just be a little different. But I don't believe it. So I don't know. I think the Mets at plus 175 is not bad to make the playoffs. I like their lineup. It would be interesting to see how they play the next couple of weeks. If they play well, I think they'll add stuff. And you know, this new age of baseball, people are going to look at Arizona last year and say, hey, why not us? Why can't we get in and make a run? So Mets at plus 175 is not bad, but not much other than that.
Yeah, who are your 3 NL wild cards? If Mets is one of them, who are the other two?
Braves and how about the San Francisco Giants, Gil? They're going to get off the mat and make a run here. What do you think?
This guy. There we go. We end on just a friendly note. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it. That was fun.
See you guys.
Will Hill, everybody. And not the Will Hill. Should Have Bet More is the name of his podcast. Does a great job with that. And, of course, part of the Bear Bets podcast empire. Cy Young Tracker next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas. The majestic D in the majestic downtown province. It's not a province, but you know what I mean. Section of Las Vegas. Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We're fighting with the music is crescendoing during the show now, Kelly. Is that our new thing?
I don't know. No. I've got a door beeping on me.
Kelly is very angry right now. Can I just tell you, this is Kelly Bidlin is angry right now. You're annoyed, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am.
So, I'm sorry.
Got a door beeping we brought up an hour and a half ago.
You don't often get annoyed, so yeah. I just want to point out to
I got the classic, is there anywhere to sit at the bar? Let me go sit right behind Kelly and light up a cigarette going on. That's great.
We get a lot of tweets. We get tweets. There's a lot of, mean ones today from, Mike Zills Duke 90 talking about Djokovic and vaccines. Trip Tepper talking about Ostapenko and Jardians on the same show. Like, I can't read half of these. It's like,
all right, you just lightened me up a little bit. I like that. Yeah. I don't even want to look at the tweet, but knowing that there's one sitting in my notifications about Djokovic and vaccines somehow is just comical.
The Jardians and sushi restaurant. There's a whole bunch of ones. Anyway, these are all creative, and I appreciate them all. Oh, Jesse Welch says, we also need to find out if she's related to Bartolo Colon. That's right. We got to ask that. I don't think we do because I'm not sure if Colon is her original last name. Is it?
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
I discovered that in my research.
I think we discovered
night,
that
yes.
she is not related.
No,
to.
You know the one. We can do the behind the scenes conversation on the air. You know the one question I forgot to text you that I feel like needs to be the lead question is now that we know she's a professional singer.
Yes, sir.
Is it her singing the song and having wrote the song?
So glad you asked that because she writes songs.
Right.
She's had songs and everything. For a second, I thought the same thing. I was like, is she singing that
song? I kind of think she is. So
I don't know. Right. I don't know. It would have been clear that she did at some point in one of these articles. By the way, we research our guests sometimes.
Gil, all I know is after diving deep in that yesterday, I feel very lucky to get a paycheck because, oh, my God, when there are – we thought we were being all clever, having this discussion about this.
Yes.
How many other things did you stumble upon where it was like YouTube video by unknown company uncovers the truth behind this? And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah. We thought we were real.
Right. Someone spent 12 minutes on this already. What?
All right. I made a bet this morning. I made it in the Cy Young market of the American League. Before we get to the American League, we'll start with the National League. But I want to set this up as we do every year when we talk about this. And this is the theme sort of the week because Cleve had his NFL betting preview. And one of the things I've been talking about is, and I raise my hand, wow, when I'm talking about, MVP and coach of the year in the NFL, I really have to keep these parameters in mind, these guardrails that have been tried and true through the years that Cleve so nicely put together in the same way that I do the NCAA championship formula every year, that it's really not that hard to narrow it down to a winner every year if you just follow these five or six little points. Well, when it comes to Cy Young, it's even much more clear than that. There's a gentleman by the name of Tom Tango. Kelly, we were flattered to know that we were Ron flattered to know that that Tom Tango either listens to the show or follows us on Twitter and watches all the clips or whatever. You've been in contact with him. Super flattering because mm-hmm. Tom Tango is one of my nerdy sabermetric, and I'm talking about me being nerdy, the nerdy side of me, my sabermetric idols. He is responsible for a run expectancy matrix that you can use for in-game betting in baseball. It's, runners are first and third, two outs in the sixth, you're down two runs, that kind of thing. But it really doesn't have to do with the score when it comes to run expectancy matrix. It's just about situation and outs and who's on base, percentage of run expectancy in those situations. He's also the creator of Fielding Independent Pitching, FIP, FIP, which I have used in handicapping baseball for a decade and a half now, and everybody uses it, casually now. Everybody knows about Fielding Independent Pitching. Tom Tango was responsible for that. From a betting standpoint, what is perhaps even the most direct route to winning bets from Tom is his Cy Young formula. His Cy Young formula, and I won't bore you, with yes, I will, because I think it's so concise and clever that I'll just give you what his formula is, and it has... again, I'll raise my hand. All the stuff about, if Spencer Strider last year, this is me, right? If Spencer Strider's advanced stats can just manifest and Blake Snell's regression can just happen, it'll be Spencer Strider. It's not that hard. Here is his formula. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. That's it. Now, you don't have to commit that to your memory. I'm just saying, it's all basic baseball card stats. And since the year 2017, he has picked out of the 14 possible Cy Young winners, 12 of them dead on. The only times he's missed on them, 2021 in the National League, Corbin Burnes won it. He had Walker Buehler. 2020 in the National League, the pandemic years, I don't even know if that counts anyway, he had, Trevor Bauer won it. He had Yu Darvish winning it. So that's it. Other than that, he's nailed the winner. And in some of these years, he has nailed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in order, if not 1, 2, 3, you know, before that. So it's great. Bottom line is that when we go this year to the National League, here is where his National League numbers fall. Logan Webb is in fifth place at 36.0 points. You don't have to know what the points mean at this point, but just to kind of know the margins between rankings. Logan Webb of the Giants is fifth in the National League. Ranger Suarez of the Phillies is in fourth at 43.6, so well ahead of Logan Webb in fifth in the National League, per Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker. Reynaldo Lopez of the Atlanta Braves is third at 44.1. Zach Wheeler of the Phillies is second at 45.9, and just edging Zach Wheeler is Chris Sale, who came off another fine performance yesterday. Chris Sale, 46.1 in the National League. Now, if you look at the National League betting odds, Chris Sale is not quite the favorite in the National League Cy Young market. Zach Wheeler is at plus 150. Chris Sale is plus 175 at DraftKings. Then it drops down to Ranger Suarez at plus 650. Logan Webb is 13-1. By the way, Reynaldo Lopez, who is third here, probably represents the value in the National League then, because he is at 30-1. Reynaldo Lopez is 30-1 in the National League, and he's only 2 tango points, if you will, behind the leader, Chris Sale. And obviously, we're before the All-Star break, so this could change dramatically, if not incrementally, between now and then. So Reynaldo Lopez is really the value in the National League at 30-1, but that's not who I bet.
You know who's not even close on the Tom Tango rankings there would be one Paul Skeens. I don't see him anywhere.
Paul Skeens is not close. And people should know that, too.
Yes.
It's a great point, Kelly.
Because all the names you're kind of rattling off are at least top of the board. You're right. Lopez you can get 30-1 on. But the one name there that does not belong is Paul Skeens.
Yeah, and Paul Skeens, by the way, to be fair, is not a short shot in the market either, right? Well, he is. He's 25 to 1. He's shorter than Reynaldo Lopez. And that is a great point about sort of we talk about this ad nauseum and people are going to like talk themselves into a Paul Skeens, much like I tried to get Spencer Strider there last year. But you know what my reasoning was. It just never manifested. But in the Skeens case, not close. So Reynaldo Lopez at 30-1 represents the value of the National League. But that's not my bet. Let's go to the AL. Again, this is Tom Tango's Cy Young tracker, tried and true. In the American League, in sixth place, let's start there, and let's hold this till I get to the number one, guys. Sixth place is Logan Gilbert at 39.2. Tanner Houck, who I love for the Red Sox, is in fifth place at 40.1. Remember, he had the Maddox against the Guardians back in April, and I was like, oh, my God. He's in fifth at 40.1. Ronel Blanco of the Astros, who is a candidate for regression on any night, but it just hadn't happened yet, he's at 41.0 in fourth place. Corbin Burnes of the Orioles, third place, 46.8. Tarek Skubal of the Tigers is in second place at 49.2. And then in first, at 13-1 odds at DraftKings and at 14-1 odds at some competitors, Seth Lugo of the Kansas City Royals, who's at 53 points. Not only is he in first, he's in first with margin. That is the bet that I made this morning. Seth Lugo at 14-1, part of it, and part of it I made at 13-1 as well. So that was my bet. So I would say Seth Lugo, just based on, again, this could change, right? This could change between now and the end of the year for sure. But as we, you know, if you listen to sports betting media and you're hearing all this Paul Skeens love and you're hearing all this, you know, Tarek Skubal love or, you know, pick your player. Oh, I like Ronel Blanco. I like Tanner Houck. The bottom line is the tracker that has gotten it right, 12 out of the last 14 Cy Youngs, it's all about Seth Lugo when it comes to value juxtaposed against the betting market in the AL, and it's all about Reynaldo Lopez, believe it or not, juxtaposed against the value anyway in the National League. But to be fair, I made the Lugo bet. I did not make the Lopez bet. Perhaps I should have. But Lugo in pocket now for me as the American League Cy Young Award winner. He is in first by the Tom Tango tracker by a non-negligible amount, it should be pointed out. Very simple formula with baseball card stats. Let's always keep that in mind, and I'll stand in the front of the line saying I should keep it in mind first and foremost. We'll come back. Chris Felica with all his bets next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.